Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting, very exciting episode of The Nude Dude. And it is the 11th of the 3rd, 2026. It's about 20 to 8, something like that. And, well, we had blue sky earlier. It's gone. I think it might come back. It's a bit overcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life. And I'm thrilled to say some book sales have come through, so down to the post office today, having a day off from the land. We've been going to the land, I don't know how many consecutive days in a row it has been, but it seems quite a lot. And we're not over there today, but as our friend in the neighbouring field is there, he can keep an eye on things. We're actually putting up cameras to keep an eye on things as well, so that's all good. Yesterday we had a good day decking out the inside of the workshop, and we found a way, even if it's only a temporary measure, we're going to sort of test it out, to block off the holes and insulate it a little bit from rain, not so much from the cold, because it's not proper insulation material, but anyway, it's some sheeting which we're shoving in to block it off. And then we'll either leave it there and then put in some slats on the inside, going the opposite way to the slats that are on the downside, if you see what I mean, from pallets. And that will look quite nice. We were out for a walk a couple of weeks ago now, but we saw a shed in a public park that had the sort of finish of what must have been slats. Now, it wasn't shiplap, it was just butted together. And I thought that's a really nice thing. On the inside, it will look nice, and also it'll help strengthen, because it'll hold the vertical slats, which were the tree offcuts, together, which will be good. So that's a project, but that's a time-consuming project, and that will do. It's, you know, what I'm calling an evening project. In other words, when you've done all the other stuff in the daytime, and the nights get shorter, days get longer, it's the sort of thing that one can just sit quietly and have all these slats and just screw them in. So, but I want to leave this sheeting up and then, you know, have a look to see if it's holding water between the two, because it may have condensation in the middle, and when it rains it may. Anyway, that's one of the tasks that we were doing yesterday. Back over there tomorrow and cracking on. But I've got a number of things to do to catch up, because people who commute to work will probably have the same issue, won't you? The weekend, or whichever days you have off, you need to catch up with various things. The house is a bit of a mess, and it needs tidying up for one thing. There's postage, there's just a number of, you know, ancillary things, washing and things, and want to potentially make some soup for tomorrow to take with us. So there's lots of bits and bobs, and go down to the post office and numerous things. I'm going to make myself a hot drink, and my neighbour also has given me a camera to look at. He wants this up and running, and we're going to sort out cameras. So I've got to take that, try it out. He said, I don't really understand how it works. I said, well, I'll have a look. I think it's very simple. It's just a sort of wildlife camera that is activated by motion. And you charge the battery up and stick in an SD card. He got it from, of all places, Timu, but it looked robust. But I probably would spend, I don't know, you know, until I look at it. It's the quality. Sometimes these cameras, I've bought these sort of cheap cameras, and the quality is so rubbish. You just think, why did I pay, you know, what little it was? Why didn't I just invest in a decent camera in the end? And that's, I tend to do that if I'm buying cameras, especially for the channel, which is why I think the quality of the picture is so good. Although, actually, these days, it seems no excuse, because the cameras available in like phones and things are very good. But I did buy a little security camera and the quality was so rubbish. I just thought, what? And it was a relatively expensive thing. The quality was so rubbish in the end, I just thought, well, what is the point? But, you know, you don't know, do you, after time? You don't know until you buy it. Anyway, I'm just going to make myself another little drinky-poos. I did some filming yesterday as well. So we've got to get another English couple out, of course, as much as we can, so we'll do some filming tomorrow. The filming is, sometimes you're doing stuff, and as Julie would say, oh, we better do some filming, and I said, yes, but I just want to get this done, and the filming can get in the way of the activity, and then it's a shame, and you go, oh, I wish we'd seen the before and the after, and Julia's always saying, you know, get the before and get the after, and I'm bit rubbish at that, because once I'm in, you know, when I'm filming, I'm filming, and when I'm doing a task, I'm just doing a task. And there's various people on YouTube who film every part. I mean, there's a chap who builds things, and I've done it. Bear with me. Achoo! Excuse me. Bless you. And he films every stage of the operation, and I know, I've done it myself, and it's so time consuming, because you've got to move the camera and get the shot and close up and do the focus and all this sort of stuff, and adjust the aperture, and you know, if you've got lights, you've got to move the lights, and you just think, in the end, it's so much work for so little reward. What's the point? And I've spent hours making videos on YouTube, on the Bald Explorer, beautiful shots, you know, lovely photography, out and about on my walks and things, and then spent lots of time editing it together and put it, finding the right music and making, and it's not just finding the right music, it's bringing in at the right time, editing the music sometimes so that it ends on a certain point, so it all looks natural, so people don't even, they're not aware of it. That's the key thing, it just comes in and what have you. And then you get barely any views, and, you know, when it was monetized, it didn't make any money for you, so you don't get the day, the diesel, for example, of going to wherever it was, you don't get any of that back. And so as a business thing, YouTube is a real risk from that point of view. And then when I was sitting down talking to the, doing the conspiracy stuff, or talking about the truth stuff that people say is a conspiracy stuff, however, whatever you perceive of it, doesn't bother me. But when you do that, you know, one shot, locked off, sitting down, and I was getting at the time, and one, you know, one can fairly well predict certain views on that side of things, I would get loads of views. And it might only take 20 minutes. So one might take all day and the other takes 20 minutes. And the one might be far more aesthetically pleasing and the other one might not. But, it, you know, so YouTube is a strange beast. It is a strange beast. But now that I'm demonetized, it doesn't really make much difference. So, but with the English couple, it's nice. It is nice to make it look sort of as televisual as possible. There's a certain satisfaction in that, as I'm sure you will appreciate. But you know, there's, you've got to try and find the balance between getting on in the limited time that you have, because we're an hour away, so that's 2 hours of travelling, which inevitably is longer than an hour, because when you come back it's rush hour, or it has been recently, because it starts to get dark from between 6 and 7, and by the time you've packed up and you've got on the road and it's getting cold and what have you, and there's no heating up there as such, not yet. When we get the caravan, it'll be a different thing. We can stay overnight, a couple of nights. That'll make a bit, you know, and also if it's cold or starts to rain, you've got somewhere to go and get out your wet clothes, change clothes, and lots of great advantages. I mean, you're not going to be there 24/7 all day, all the week, of course, because one's got a house here, but and it's not set up in that way with off-grid running water, and you know, we still have to take water in a canister, and there's no real much of I haven't got much of the solar panels and all the things if you were living on the land as such, and we're not doing that. Who knows what the future might look like, you know, if we could find a little house nearby, then I could sell my house and use the revenue generated from my house to the revenue to buy a little, wouldn't have to be as big as this house, although this house isn't a big house, isn't it? Two up, two down, but a smaller house. But if you could find it within a 5 mile radius of the land, that would be fantastic, because then you wouldn't have to worry about all the issues that you might have to worry about if you wanted to live on the land, etc. So that's an option, but that's, you know, in the future. So, but in the meantime, having the caravan and just camping up there for a couple of nights a week would just save a bit of money on the diesel, especially now when the diesel is prohibitively expensive, isn't it? It just seems to be going up. Now, I don't watch the news. I don't listen to the narrative. So I have no idea why the cost of diesel is going up. There's probably something going on somewhere, and the government are selling us a story about something. But, you know, whether anybody believes anything anymore, you can write whatever you like with bits of paper, and AI now can produce images to prove you could... You could say there was a national security issue of some description, especially in another country. And I don't know, you could even say there was a war going on somewhere, or a battle, or a country was, I don't know, the oil producers could. You could say whatever you like, and then you could have all these images to prove it. AI is so clever now, and people will just believe it. Well, if I don't believe any of it now. I don't believe any... Having done extra work in the past and been in the film industry, I'm very dubious about anything. And also, being a filmmaker myself, you can frame things to make it look nice or look rubbish. And what you don't see is the film crew behind you. It's a classic example is David Copperfield... famously walked through the Great Wall of China, apparently. But in order to walk through the Great Wall of China, of course, he didn't just walk up to the Great Wall of China, dissolve into the wall and come out the other side. No, he walked into a tent on one side and came out of a tent that was erected on the other side. And in order to try and prove that there was no trickery, you had the camera, and he said, "We'll just have one shot. There's no editing whatsoever." And so the camera was facing him. He goes into this tent. The camera rises up, showing the tent and the wall. It goes on a crane over the wall and comes down the other side, and out he walks. And you think, well, it's impossible, because they removed the tent. They had the tents. They said, "There's no hole in the wall," and I dare say there wasn't a hole in the wall. But... what we didn't see, of course, was what was going on behind the camera. And you never think of that. You don't think, well, what's going on behind the camera? Well, it seems so obvious what the trickery was, is on the one hand, he's talking to the camera and he's saying, "This is what I'm going to do." Then he says, "We'll cut to the this single shot and I'll walk in and go through the thing and come out the other end." So that's what happened. But of course, when they cut to the other camera, what they cut to was a slightly distant shot, and a lookalike went in one side and another lookalike came out the other side. And then it cut to him, which he'd meanwhile climbed over the wall, or was, you know, climbed over a bit of scaffold or whatever they had, so that when he came out the other side, he could, and it cut to him, it looked like the same person, because you could see him in close. I mean, I can't say that's exactly what happened, but that's the principle. He did not walk through the Great Wall of China. We know that. But the illusion was created. I'm just lighting my pipe. And because of that, you don't see what the camera doesn't want you to see. So whatever is in the news is bias. And now we don't know, when you watch AI, I mean, some AI you can tell because it's so preposterous that it could only be AI. But on YouTube, you don't always know what is real and what isn't. And so that takes away some of the, well, it takes all the fun, because if it's not a genuine thing being filmed, unless it's actually, what's the word, indicated that this is entertainment, as in, you know, it's not real, like drama, like fiction. Then you go, okay, fair enough, that's just AI, but, you know, it's entertaining. But a lot of YouTube stuff is claiming that it's real. And some of these, I mean, I've seen these, I hate these shorts that you have on YouTube. I watched one, and one was a narrow boat coming off the Ponkasalty Bridge. And, you know, this, and it was, I don't know, about 8 seconds or something, and this canal boat suddenly veers over this bridge, which is a canal bridge over the between the Isle of the Anglesey and Britain, and over the, I can't remember, is it the River Dee or something? Anyway, this famous bridge, I filmed it. I've been over it. I've walked over it. I've been over it. I think Julia's also been over it in a narrow boat, and I've been over it in a narrow boat. And it is quite bizarre to do it. It is quite frightening. But anyway, there's no way a narrow boat can actually come off. But in this video, this narrow boat seems to come off. And there'll be other ones where they get stuck in locks and they upend, which is possible, but not to the extreme and the clarity of everything. Anyway, these videos show all this. If a narrow boat with a bloke at the helm fell off the Ponkasalty Bridge, whatever it's called, that would be big news. That would be big news, and that bridge would have been out of action. Well, it was AI. So, of course, it's not real. So there was no news about it. There was no big thing. It was just an AI image somebody created cleverly. Or not cleverly. And you just think, well, that told me. You can't trust anything on YouTube now. You cannot, you can no longer, I mean, now that they can clone voices, you can't trust anything. Podcasts as well. I mean, everything you're listening to now could not be me. I listen to Alan Watts. I can't listen to him now. I can't listen to Alan, the recordings of Alan Watts from the sort of 70s, I think it was, and the 70s and 80s, whenever he was out doing his talks. And there are loads of them. And now, of course, there's more and more of these YouTube videos with Alan Watts, philosopher, spiritualist, whatever you want to call him. But it's not him. It's AI. They've cloned his voice. They're talking similar stuff, but it's not his material, necessarily. And it's not clear whether you're really listening to Alan Watts or listening to, some are obvious because they just don't have the cadence quite right, but some are very clever, and of course the material, you just don't know whether you're listening to the real thing. I think this is the most worrying aspect now, and in the end you have to say, I can't trust anything that I listen to or see on YouTube or the mainstream media. You just can't trust it. You don't know it's true. You can't trust what's written down, printed word, you know. We've never really been able to trust any of it, but we fool ourselves that some of it's true. So you just have to think everything is fiction. At least if you're reading a book, as you know, I've been reading a lot of R.F. Delderfield's work, which is fiction. It's a story constructed purposely for entertainment purposes, but draws you in. There are truths within the story. There are truths, but they're not. It's not saying these events happened, but, you know, certain people will react to certain things, and he'll explore emotions and how people in relationships and things like that. And those are sort of universal truths that, you know, if somebody is killed, they die. That would, you know, that's a universal truth, isn't it? So you experience things, but you know the events are not true. Well, that's fine, because you know it's entertainment, you know it's fiction. I now judge everything on YouTube as fiction. Because you just, how can you tell? You just can't tell whether it's real or not. And it's so easy to fake it now. In the past, it was far more difficult. Only the big boys could do it. But now anyone does it. And so we've lost a sense of what's real. And so in the end, unless you see something yourself or do the experiments yourself, you have no idea whether it's true or false. It could all be being made up. There's seems to be quite a big movement now about things like Tartaria and star forts and all of this. And I have no idea. May well be true, may not be. But there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that there may be evidence for. But then people will jump on that evidence and will embellish it, add more to it, write, you know, books about stuff, theorize, and you just don't know. And a friend of mine is he's worked on some of this stuff, and he says, you know, I've done 20 years research on this. To best of my knowledge, it's all true what I put forward, but now AI is scraping around stuff from the internet, which some of it may be true, but some of it may be somebody else's work that's embellished, that it's taking as read. So even AI can be fooled. Of course it can. And we, as susceptible human beings, can be fooled far more easily than anything else. Anyway, I don't know how I got into all of this. I'm enjoying my pipe, I'm enjoying my cup of tea, and very shortly I shall enjoy a piece of toast. But yes, which is in some way why I think going onto the land and living in your own bubble, and you know what works, you know what you learn from experience. That's the joy, because you know that bit's true. You know that if you put this seed at this time of the year, in this type of soil, in this kind of weather, that it, you know, it should work. And you are living a real life, not a fake life. And I think most people are living a fake life. They spend so many hours on bloody YouTube now. I mean, it's just a national disaster, really. People aren't thinking. They don't read proper books. They don't read. And they don't experience the outside world. It's a global disaster. And where possible, in my humble opinion, which you don't have to accept at all, and people don't, and I don't blame them, getting back into nature as we once were, away from concrete and away from electronics and screens, and listening to the birds and watching the birds. We put up some coconuts with some fat and seeds in it, and we've seen tits, blue tits, robins come over and have a look at it and have a nibble very close to us. We watch the blackbirds, we watch the red kites in the sky, we watch the pheasants come around, we watch the little field mice or voles. Very soon we shall have a whole host of different insects and vertebrae around our pond. We've got some sort of duckweed type thing, aerating plant in the pond. We will have things growing out of the ground. You hear the wind in the trees. We're watching the buds coming out of the various plants and things. My rhubarb is beginning to grow, which is great. You know, these things that you put into the ground yourself and they come out and little life. The other day, Julia inadvertently pulled off a leaf of a cabbage, I think it was, and she said, well, I wasn't going to throw it away, so I ate it. And she said it was absolutely lovely. And I was so tempted to rip one off myself. No, I'll wait till it grows a bit bigger and I can sacrifice a leaf and I'll have a go myself. You know, all that's real. That's real. You can touch it, you can eat it, you can hear it, you can see it, you can feel it. It's this artificial world which we're being trapped in to believe rubbish, absolute rubbish, is galling. But people fall for it, don't they? They fall for it, it's convenient, it's lazy, they don't have to go and do anything. People don't do anything anymore. They just don't physically do very much. Sweeping statement, I know. I shall leave you with all that moaning, groaning, grumbling and complaining, and I hope you had a good laugh at my expense. I don't care. I'm enjoying my pipe and then my cup of tea, and I may not get one of these done tomorrow because we'll be rushing out, so hence this has been a bit of a longer one than yesterday's. So have a lovely day and enjoy yourself and get outside and, you know, look at the real life. Have a real life experience. Till next time, goodbye.